Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our week's portion is Parashat Bo. Parashat Bo tells us about the last three plagues, Arbe Choshech, the locust, the darkness, and later on the killing of the firstborn. And at the time of the killing of the firstborn, Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim after this plague. Okay, between the ninth and the tenth plague, meaning after Hashem brought the locust and the darkness, before the killing of the firstborn, before the night of Pesach, in fact, it was on the 10th day of Nisan, 4 days before Pesach, there is a commandment that Hashem gives to the Jewish people, which is the first commandment that the Jewish people received as a nation. And we are in page 348, in English 349. It's not the beginning of the portion, but this is what I want to discuss today. I'm not discussing today the locust and the darkness. We are going to 348. And I want to read the beginning of the commandment and see what is the first commandment Hashem gave to the Jewish people as a nation. So, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'Aaron, Hashem said, beginning of chapter 12, Hashem said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be for you the beginning of the month," referring to the month of Nisan, the month where Pesach is celebrated. "It shall be for you the first of the months of the year." We start to count years from Tishrei, from Rosh Hashanah, but we count months from Nisan. Based on what's written here in the Torah, we have, based on this pasuk, we learn that we have to establish the Jewish calendar based on instructions that were given in the Or Law, and count the months of Nisan to be the first one. Then the Torah goes in the next page to describe the fact that the Jewish people have to take a lamb, and keep it for 4 days, check that it has no blemish, and the Torah tells them how to offer it on the 14th day of Nisan, between day and night, right? Before the night of Pesach, right? On the day of the Seder, daytime, right? Before the Seder. And all the details of this offering are written here. Okay? Before we go into the obligation itself, I want to see the opening. There is something unique in the way this mitzvah starts. It says, Hashem said to Moses and Aharon in the land of Egypt, saying, usually, in whatever mitzvah that Hashem commands us, Hashem speaks to Moshe. If you look at page 360, right? Just the beginning of the next chapter. There is a mitzvah that Hashem commands the Jewish people to sanctify the firstborn of people and certain animals, right? What we call Pidyon HaBen, right? And it starts with Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, and it's a sentence that appears in the Torah many times, because each time that Hashem gives a mitzvah to the Jewish people, it's done via Moshe. But here there is something unique. Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aharon. Very interesting. And the question is, of course, why? And Rashi will refer to it. Rashi says the following: because Aharon made and put effort in the miracles, like Moshe, Hashem honored him in the first mitzvah and he included him with Moshe. Meaning, if you look at the previous pasuk, right, it's written that Moshe and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. So Moshe and Aaron performed the miracles. We spoke about it last week. We divided the plagues into three categories, and we showed that Aaron made three, Moshe made three. So they were equal in terms of bringing the plagues towards the Egyptians. And because Aaron was part of it, he deserves honor. And Hashem shows it by speaking to the two of them about the first mitzvah, especially because this mitzvah is a precondition for the redemption, and it's also part of the miracle of the redemption. When we say precondition, our sages tell us that the Jewish people were naked of mitzvot, meaning did not have enough merits in order to get out of Mitzrayim. So Hashem gave them two mitzvot, circumcision and the offering of the Pesach that is discussed in our chapter. So our chapter will enable the redemption to come, being that Aaron was part of making the miracles that brought the redemption. It's only right that Hashem will give him some reward for it, and the reward is that he spoke to him and to Moshe together with this mitzvah. This mitzvah is, we said, a precondition. It's also a mitzvah that was used at the night of Pesach in order to separate between the Jewish people and the Egyptians. Hashem commanded to take from the blood of this offering, put it on the doorposts, right, and on the mashkof, on the top, right? And the Torah says that when Hashem saw the blood, he skipped over these homes where it was there. And in this way, they were saved from the plague of the killing of the firstborn. Okay, we'll come back to this detail, but the mitzvah is part of the process of the redemption. So, being that Aaron was involved, it's proper that he will get rewarded, and that's why Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron together. Okay, I want to go into the depths of it based on a drasha, a speech that was given by the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim. It's the initial of Rabbeinu Nissim. Drashot Haran is the name of the book. He was one of the great people of Sephardic Jewry in Spain. And he was the student of the Ramban, right? The same era, more or less. And he has a fascinating explanation to this pasuk, to this mitzvah. What he shows is that this is the first mitzvah that the Jewish people are given. And basics about Torah and mitzvahs are hinted in this mitzvah. In the first mitzvah, Hashem put in front of us what Torah and mitzvot are all about. And I want to speak today about four aspects of this mitzvah that indicate to us what Torah and mitzvot are in general, not just this particular one. And the first is based on the fact, the first principle is learned from the fact that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. I want to go to the source to see in the Chumash what caused the fact that Moshe and Aaron are together doing the miracles. Why not just Moshe? If Moshe is chosen to be the Redeemer, so we can just let him do everything, right? So I want to see how it started. So if you go to page 308, 309, we are now in the discussion, first discussion that took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. When Hashem told Moshe that he is appointed to be the redeemer of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu was not happy about it, and he brought different arguments why he does not want to go. Okay? Among them, if you look at verse number 10, verse number 10 on page 309, it's already after some arguments that Hashem responded to. Moshe Rabbeinu comes up with something else. And what does he say? Moses replied to Hashem, "Please, my Lord, I am not a man of words, not since yesterday, not since the day before yesterday, nor since you first spoke to your servant, for I am heavy of mouth and heavy of speech." Kvad pe uchvad lashon in Hebrew. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have difficulty speaking. I have an impairment. I cannot speak clearly, right? I'm kvadpe, heavy in speech, heavy in language. I am not the right person to go to speak to Paro. Moshe felt that it will be not respectful, it will be a chilul Hashem, a desecration of the name of Hashem, that he sends a messenger to Paro who can't even talk. A messenger of Hashem should be a person of capabilities. So that's his argument in front of Hashem. Right? So what does Hashem say? 11. Okay? Then Hashem said to him, who makes a mouth for men, or who makes one dumb, or deaf, or sighted, or blind? Is it not I, Hashem? So now go, I shall be with your mouth and teach you what you should say. So Hashem says, I have the capability, obviously, to give the ability to
Hello?
Speak. When you will be in front of Paro, I'll be with your mouth.
Hello?
Meaning in front of Paro, you'll be able to speak properly. Okay, let's go further. He replied, please, my Lord, send through whoever you will send. Moshe doesn't accept. He says, send whoever you want to send. And our sages explained that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to go, not just because he could not speak properly, but what was beyond his refusal, and it's famous, was the fact that Aharon was
good
only
morning.
3 years.
Hi, you're trying to get on by phone?
Esther, Esther, we hear you. Okay.
Sorry.
Aharon was, Esther, please mute yourself. Okay. Hashem, Aharon was 3 years older than Moshe. And he was a prophet all along when Moshe was not even in Egypt. Moshe ran for his life to Midian. Aharon was the one with the Jewish people at the time of their suffering. He gave them words of prophecy, of strength, of guidance, and helped them to maintain who they were in Egypt. And now, when it comes to the redemption, and Moshe just came from Midian, he wasn't there all along, right? Hashem appoints Moshe. So Moshe felt Aharon will be hurt by it, right? So that's why he said, I don't want to go. And we see it from what's written right after. Right after it's written, the wrath of Hashem burned against Moshe, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he will surely speak. Moreover, behold, he is going out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will rejoice in his heart. Okay, so Hashem tells Moshe, Aaron will not be jealous, the other way around. He'll be happy for you. And he says right after, you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I shall be with your mouth and with his mouth and teach you both what you are to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and it will be that he will be your mouth and you will be his leader. Okay? So not only is Moshe chosen to be the leader and not Aaron, but Moshe is chosen to be the leader of Aaron. Aaron is going to be the one who will speak for Moshe. Moshe will hear the words from Hashem. He will tell it to Aaron, and Aaron will speak to the people. So Aaron is like serving Moshe in his mission. Instead, it's what we would anticipate, that it will be the opposite. So Moshe did not want to go because of it, but Hashem tells him, go anyhow. And then we find right after that Moshe goes to bring his family to Mitzrayim, he's accepting the mission. So we see here an unbelievable greatness of the side of Aharon, right? And he's really praised very much for it. And our sages tell us that he got a reward for it. And what was the reward? The reward was that he will wear the Urim Vetumim. The Urim Vetumim was part of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. When the Jewish people had a question to Hashem, they would ask the Urim Vetumim. And it was like a plate inside the Choshen on his chest. And The Urim Thummim answered. I won't go into how, but they got the answers via the Urim Thummim about what will be in the future, what they have to do. This is the reward of Aharon. This story raises two questions. We'll start with one. Moshe says, I can't speak. I have an impairment. I'm not a person of speech. I'm not a person of words. There is a very simple solution. Hashem can heal him, and he will be able to speak. Hashem doesn't do it. Hashem says, Aharon will come with you, and he will speak for you. You will still hear the words from me. You will say it over to Aharon, and Aharon will be the speaker. Why is it so? Right? Why didn't Hashem heal Moshe? The answer is one of the most basic things that we have to know about the Torah and about mitzvot. Okay. The level of Moshe in prophecy was above any other prophet that ever existed or that will ever exist. It's one of our 13 principles that there will never be a prophet like Moshe and will never be. And basically, it's written at the end of the Torah. If you look at page 1122, when the Torah sums up, so to speak, the life of Moshe, the Torah says, the very end of the Torah, the Torah says as follows. Okay, verse number 10. Never again has there arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom Hashem had known face to face, as evidenced by all the signs and wonders that Hashem sent him to perform in front of all of the Jewish people. So there was never a prophet like Moshe, and there will never be. And it must be, because imagine there is a prophet on his level. And he comes and he tells us, Hashem revealed himself to me. And he told me to tell you, you don't have to keep Shabbos anymore. If he's on the level of Moshe, or even more, right, we will have to listen to him. So obviously, in order that the Torah will not change, being that Hashem wants, that this Torah will never be changed, which is another principle of the 13 beliefs that we have. Right, that the Torah will never be changed. So a master will be a person that is leveling prophecy is above any other one. So we will know that if anybody comes and contradicts what Moshe says or tries to change what Moshe said, we know he's a false prophet. Can't be. Because the Torah itself says, Lo kam ke Moshe. There was never a person like Moshe. Now, how do we understand it? What does it mean? What does it tell us about Moshe? So the Ran explains something very, very beautiful. Prophecy is, for the Jewish nation, a natural phenomenon. Not that prophecy is natural, it's not, right? But the way to achieve prophecy is an open route for every Jew. In fact, the book, Mesilat Yesharim, The Face of the Just of Ramchal, is a book based on a saying of our sages, where they tell us what is the ladder to get to prophecy, to Ruach HaKodesh. If you do all that is written in this book, you will get there. It's a matter of fact, at the time that we have prophecy. Right? Today we don't have prophecy. But at the time that there was prophecy in the Jewish nation, every Jew could achieve it. If he would do whatever it requires. Because it's a potential in every Jew to become a prophet. And we are told that at the time of Mashiach, will have prophecy again. But the prophecy of Moshe was of a different nature. In two ways. A, any prophet that got prophecy got overwhelmed by the prophecy. He was falling on his face. It was an overwhelming experience, very overwhelming experience. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, where we read before, Hashem spoke to him panim el panim, face to face, like A friend speaks to a friend is the term of our sages. If not, as they would have said it, we would obviously not be able to say something like this. But this is what the Torah says, meaning he was able to speak to Hashem in a way that no other prophet could. That's one thing. Second thing, any other prophet had to prepare for prophecy. No other person was ready for prophecy on an ongoing basis all the time. Moshe was always ready to get prophecy, was on the level to get prophecy. We find it in the story of, the proof for it, in the story of Pesach Sheni. The people who came out of Egypt with the Ark of Yosef were impure because they carried a dead person, right? And they couldn't bring the Pesach offering. The first year after coming out of Egypt, they couldn't celebrate Pesach, because they were not pure, right? They felt very bad about it. So they came to Moshe and said, why should we not be part of it? So Moshe told them, stand by, and I'll tell you what Hashem will tell me. Imdu ve'eshvea mayomar Hashem. You stand by. I'll go to ask Hashem, what means he was ready for prophecy. At any point, people approached him, he said, stand by, I'll get from Hashem the answer. These are two qualities that are superhuman. Moshe says, this level of prophecy, I'm sorry, Deran says, this level of prophecy is superhuman because every one of us has moments that we are very close to Hashem, very connected on a high level, and let's assume at the time of prophecy, even ready to get prophecy. But there are times and moments that we fall behind, that we are not on this level, and then we can't. And it's a natural, normal thing for every Jew to have a process of ups and downs, even if the direction is growth. The process of growth is not just straight up, 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 up. We always have moments of clarity, and then we lose it partially, for a time being, and we have to work to attain it again, and maybe to make it more stronger and more often, right, part of who we are. But up and down is normal for every human being. To be always on the same level is not what we can have. And that's why we'll never be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem wanted it in this way. And he made it supernatural. Why? Because any potential that we have, we were given this potential in order to actualize it and use it. If Hashem doesn't want us to be on the level of Moshe, to be able to reach this level, why should he give us this potential? So we cannot get there. It's a supernatural potential. And it was necessary only for Moshe. Now, what causes us ups and downs? What causes us ups and downs is the fact that we are still fighting our bad inclination. Right? We have a good inclination, we had a bad inclination. And that's why sometimes we can fall. Not so by Moshe Rabbeinu. He was like an angel. The Torah describes him as Ish Elokim. He was a human being with qualities of angels. Angels don't fall back because they are always on the same level. Why? Because they don't have a bad inclination. So Hashem gave Moshe supernatural power of always being on this strong level. So his prophecy will be above the prophecy of all of us. And obviously this ensures that we know that the Torah is the truth, because he is the one who transmits Torah from one generation to the other, right? To all Jewish people, right? He gave us the Torah, and we have to know that the Torah is the truth. So he has to be the prophet on a level that is beyond our achievement, beyond our capability, okay? So usually, Moshe is the one to tell us what Hashem says. If this is the case, the questions that we asked before, why didn't Hashem make sure that Moshe will be able to speak properly? Why didn't Hashem do it? Shouldn't a person like this be able to speak properly? He's the speaker that transmits the Torah to the Jewish people. Why did Hashem make him heavy of speech, heavy of words? So the Ran explains that if Moshe would have been a very good speaker, there would have been a worry that people will think that we were convinced that the Torah is truth because he was a good speaker. He had good arguments. He was very talented. And he now knew how to make us believe. And it had to be beyond any doubt that the Torah is given by Hashem. So Hashem made him heavy of speech. Nobody could say that Moshe Rabbeinu convinced us that the Torah is true. It was hard to listen to him, right? In regular speech, Hashem gave him the ability to transmit the Torah properly. But in regular day-to-day interactions, Moshe Rabbeinu was heavy of speech. And in this way, we know that the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gives us is true. Okay? Now, this is not a proof that the Torah came from Hashem yet, but we know Moshe is the right messenger. Okay? To know that the Torah is really the truth, we learned on Sinai when we ourselves heard Hashem. Nobody can come and tell me, Hashem spoke to me, and because of it, you have to do so and so and so. Unless he was already proven to be a true prophet. If Moshe Rabbeinu will come, a year or two after the beginning of the Torah and tell the Jewish people, Hashem told me, you're obligated to listen because Hashem himself proved to us that he is a true prophet, right? But when did we really hear it and knew it for sure? At Sinai. But there are different ways that Hashem ensured that nothing will stand in our way of knowing that the Torah is true. So the first things that we learned in the first mitzvah is that when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to us, it's as if Hashem speaks to us. Hashem speaks to us, and we find it very nicely in the psukim that we learned before, going back to 309. Moshe said, I cannot speak, I'm heavy of speech. Let's see what Hashem answers him and see that it's not the answer that we would anticipate. Hashem says, then Hashem said to him, who makes a mouth for man? Or who makes one dumb or deaf or sighted or blind? Is it not I, Hashem? So now go. He doesn't seem to answer. Hashem says, I'm giving the ability to speak, but Hashem doesn't tell him, I'll make you able to speak. Hashem doesn't heal him. Yeah? Hashem just says, go and I'll be with you. Don't worry about how it will affect Pharaoh. Don't be afraid. I have a reason for what I'm doing. I want you to go to Pharaoh this way. Now let's see the language of the Pasuk. The language of the Pasuk is, Mi samtel Adam. Who makes a mouth for men and who makes one dumb? It should be who who puts a mouth for men. If Hashem doesn't put a mouth for men, obviously it's dumb. Right? If Hashem gives us the ability to speak, we speak. If not, nothing has to be happen. No, nothing has to happen. Hashem, if Hashem doesn't give us the ability to speak, we don't. It's not two separate things. It's like saying, I switch the light and I can create darkness. I don't create darkness. All I can do is create light. If I don't do it, it's dark. There is no reason to say, and I can create darkness. I don't create darkness. The absence of light is darkness. The absence of speech is not being able to speak, is being mute. So why does Hashem say, who makes a person speak and who makes a person unable to speak? It's to tell Moshe nothing is an accident. Nothing happens just because. If a person can speak, it's me. If he cannot speak, it's because I made the decision that he won't speak. It's not just because I didn't give him the ability to speak, so he doesn't speak. No. I made the decision that he won't speak or won't speak clearly because I have a reason. Nothing but that is done by Hashem is just because, right? Just because he didn't do it, so it's not here. No. If he wouldn't like it not to be here, he would have done it. So Hashem tells Moshe in other words, that's how I want it. That's how I want it. And that's why you are have your speech. Okay, so we understood one principle, and this is Moshe is the true messenger of Hashem. He is supernatural. He's not like any one of us. It was a special creation for the sake of making sure that the transmission of Torah from Hashem to the Jewish people will be without any flaw, and it won't awake in us any doubts about the authenticity of the prophecy of Moshe. Let's go now to Aaron. What we are told by our sages is that because of the greatness of Aaron, because of the fact that he was not jealous of Moshe, he got a special reward. And what is the reward? That he will have as one of the eight things that he wears when he does the service in the Beit HaMikdash, the Urim V'Tumim. So we said before, what are the Urim V'Tumim? When the Jewish people wanted to know what to do or what will be, they asked the Urim V'Tumim. For example, when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel and they wanted to know which of the tribes should go to conquer his part in the land of Israel first, they asked the Urim V'Tumim, and he said Yehuda. The Jewish people wanted to go to war. They wanted to know if they will be successful or not. Should they go? They asked the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim responded. And our sages say something very fascinating. They basically, if you think about it, it's prophecy, right? Through the Urim V'Tumim, the Jewish people got to know what will be in the future. So our sages say there is another way to know what will be in the future, and this is via prophecy. You ask the prophet. But there is a difference between a prophet and between the Urim V'Tumim. Under certain circumstances, and we have to be very careful, most of the time, everything a prophet says will happen. But we are told in the Torah, under which circumstances it's possible that a prophecy will not actualize. And we have the rules. Right? When it could happen, right? If it's a bad prophecy, we are told what to do in order to nullify it, right? A good prophecy, how to maintain it, right? And it's important that we know what we should do in order that it will happen, if it's good, right? But the Urim V'Tumim, if they say something, if we get information via the Urim V'Tumim, it will always happen. No way to nullify it. So in a way, the Urim V'Tumim is even greater than prophecy. And the question is, why is this the reward that Aaron got? We know that Hashem pays measure against measure, right? So why is this exactly the way Hashem paid Aaron, right, for what he did, okay? We could say, maybe he got the lighting of the menorah. Maybe he did many things in the Beit HaMikdash that were very, very great. But if we check all that Aaron did in the Beit HaMikdash, we'll see that it all was a service that has to be done in the Beit HaMikdash. And when Aaron was not there anymore, His son Elazar did it. And as long as the Beit HaMikdash was there, it was done by whoever was the high priest. Because these are things that the high priest has to do. But here we are speaking about something that is not basically part of the service of Hashem. It's prophecy. A Kohen Gadol is not supposed to be a prophet. A Kohen Gadol is supposed to do the service in the Beit HaMikdash. Prophecy is not his job. So being that Hashem gave him something that doesn't belong to him, it's clear that it is a reward for something special that he did. It's not just his job as a Kohen. But there is something else that was given to him. Prophecy, basically, the ability to tell the Jewish people what will happen in the future, and it will never be nullified. And being that it's not part of his job, we understand that it's a reward for something special that he did. So here the Torah teaches us, in the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people, another very important principle. The principle of divine providence, reward and punishment. And they are interconnected. Because in order to give reward and punishment, obviously Hashem has to care about what we do. It's an indication that Hashem cares about what we do and responds to it. What is divine providence? So the first mitzvah taught us A, that when Moshe comes and tells us something, he's the right messenger of Hashem, and that Hashem created him as a supernatural being in order that we will know it. The second thing, very important principle in Torah that we learn here, is that there is reward and punishment. That if we want reward, we have to keep the mitzvot. And if we don't want punishment, we should try to avoid to do anything that the Torah prohibits us from doing. Okay? So that's another principle in this topic. And it's very interesting. In Parashat Etzaveinu, Chumash Shmot, Hashem tells Moshe how to make the clothes of Aharon. There, we will hear about the Urim v'Tumim as well, right? But when the Jewish people who made the clothing, Bezalel and the people who worked with him to make them, bring all the pieces of clothing to Moshe after they have done it, if you look there, the Urim v'Tumim are not mentioned because it was done by Moshe, not by them. Because it was not naturally part of what Aaron should have had as clothing, right? And also in Chumash Shmot, when the Torah tells Moshe to command to do it, the Torah says, and you should command and you should do. Meaning, it's not part of what the artists do, of what Bezalel and the others who do the clothing do. Because that's an extra thing that was given to Aaron as a reward for the fact that he did not feel any jealousy about Moshe being the Redeemer and him being, so to speak, his servant, and was even very happy about it. Okay, so these are the first two principles. Now let's go to the mitzvah itself, to the commandment itself. What does the Torah tell us? The Torah tells us that we should establish the Jewish calendar and make the month of Nisan the first month. We all know that the establishment of the Jewish calendar was also something supernatural. In order to establish the Jewish calendar, we have to know when the moon renewed itself. Once a month, we have a renewal of the moon, right? The month starts without, just before the beginning of the month, we don't see the moon for a short time. Then we see the moon, it reveals itself again, and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger till it's a full circle in the middle of the month. And then again, smaller and smaller and smaller till the end of the month. And we have to know when was the moment of the renewal. On the days that this moment took place, we establish Rosh Chodesh. Now, sometimes we see it on the 30th day of the last month, and sometimes we see it only after. This will be on the 29th, I'm sorry, the 29th day of the month. So Rosh Chodesh will be the day after. No, on the 30th, I'm sorry, on the 30th day of the month, we are waiting to see the moon. If we saw it, it will be Rosh Chodesh. It will become the first day of the coming month. If we don't see it on this day, only the day after, this will be the 30th day of the previous month, and tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh. Now, it depends on when we see the moon, right? Now, the people who saw the moon have to come to the Sanhedrin, the high court in Jerusalem, and say testimony. And the court interrogates them to know that they really saw it. And if they are convinced that their testimony is true, then they say the month is sanctified, it's Rosh Chodesh. Now, what if the people saw it in the morning, but they live in the north of Israel or far from Jerusalem? Until they come to Jerusalem, until they are interrogated by the court, until they are declared true witnesses, it's already night. When will be Rosh Chodesh? The renewal of the moon was in the morning, but the court decided that they are true witnesses at night already, which is tomorrow according to the Jewish calendar, right? Rosh Chodesh will be tomorrow. Very interesting. Why? Because Vivit, our calendar is exact, okay? And Hashem adjusts the holidays to our decision. Meaning, let's say the witnesses saw the moon on Monday, but because of the reasons that we said before, Rosh Chodesh will be Tuesday. When will be Pesach? The 14th day after Tuesday, not after Monday, right? And Hashem will bring the sanctification, Hashem will sanctify the day according to what we decided. But it's an unbelievable thing because Hashem adjusts nature to our decision. What means, in other words, that we have a godly capacity to affect nature. We are not affected by nature. Nature doesn't limit us. We can be above nature. Now, why is it so, so important to tell us in the first mitzvah that the Torah gave the Jewish nation as a nation? So on the one level, that's the obvious, Hashem is establishing now the Jewish nation. Hashem tells us you should know who you are. You're not limited by nature. But there is something else that is very important here. We know that the Torah was given in two parts, a written part and an oral part, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebealpeh. Torah Shebealpeh, the oral law, is what the sages decided based on certain rules. But the sages are sitting and studying. There are different opinions about different matters. There are ways to decide between all those opinions, what is accepted, right? And what we accept becomes Torah. Even, and that's the main part, even if we are mistaken. Let's say the sages sit together, the majority says one thing, the minority says another thing, and in this case, the minority were right. But being that we have a majority, this becomes the rule. And that's what Hashem wants. And there is the famous story of an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, when will be Yom Kippur. Rabbi Eliezer was part of a majority, and they decided on a certain day that will be Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yoshua said, no, it's the wrong day. Yom Kippur has to be on another day. And they didn't want to accept because they were the majority. So Rabbi Yoshua performed different miracles. He said, if I am right, this and this should happen. If I am right, the river should change its direction. The walls of the Beit HaMidrash should cave in. Different things that he said will happen, and they did. And then they didn't accept. And at the end he said, heaven will prove. And a heavenly voice came out and said that Rabbi Yoshua is right. And the court did not agree. And Rabbi Eliezer forced Rabbi Yoshua to come to him on the day that Rabbi Yoshua felt his Yom Kippur, violating the day, carrying things that on Yom Kippur you could not. And Rabbi Yoshua accepted because he was the minority and they were the majority. And if he could not convince them, he had to accept. Meaning, in other words, Hashem gave us the ability to make decisions that become Torah. That's godly. And the mitzvah where we see it is in HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. We establish Rosh Chodesh, and Hashem adjusts nature to it. It's unbelievable. This says us not only what is the Torah, but what does the Torah do to us? The Torah has the capability of turning a person into a godly being. He is the one who rules over nature. He is the one who makes the decision, and Hashem changed reality based on it. There are famous stories about it. I think I told you some of them in the past. I'll just give a small example. There was a person who was very sick, and he came to the rabbi in his town to ask for a blessing. It was a sickness that was life-threatening. So the rabbi told him, move to another city, and he told him to which city to move. And he did, and he was healthy. So people said the rabbi made a miracle. When it came to the rabbi that this is what people said, he said, no, it was not a miracle. We have in animals certain sicknesses that are defined to us by Jewish law that make the animal not kosher, even if it's a kosher animal, meaning we cannot eat it, even if you slaughter it, because it's considered already dead at its lifetime, because the death is imminent. And the Torah tells it to us. If this and this is the sickness for these four animals, for a cow, for a sheep, whatever, it cannot survive a year, and being that it cannot survive for one full year, it's considered already dead, so you cannot slaughter it and eat it. It's called taref, already in its lifetime. So the rabbi said the following. There is a certain sickness that our sages define, a streif. And the question is, what is it exactly, this sickness? I hold that what you have, you human being who came to me for a blessing, that what you have is this sickness. And being that my opinion is that with this sickness, one cannot survive a year, I told you to leave my area because the rabbi in the other city holds differently. So the rule over there in Shamayim is that the people who have this sickness will live. While the rule in my town is according to my definition of the sickness. So here you cannot remain alive. Over there you will be able to. That's the power that Torah gives to a human being. And that's another principle that the Torah wanted to teach us in the first mitzvah. So we know so far three things. We know that Moshe, his prophecy is 100% true. Nobody can question him. It was a supernatural phenomenon. No one like Moshe. We know that when we do mitzvot, we get reward and punishment. That Hashem responds to what we do by reward and punishment. And we know also that Torah is given to us We can decide based on rules that the Torah itself gives us, what is right and what is wrong, according to Torah, and it becomes a reality, what is obviously a godly power. The third thing we mentioned before, and I said we'll come back to it, that after the Jewish people fulfilled this mitzvah, on the 10th day of Nisan, they took an animal, kept it for 4 days, made sure it has no blemish, and then on the 14th day, towards the evening, they slaughtered it as the offering of Pesach. And then they took the blood and put it on the doorposts. And what did this do? That when Hashem came in at night, in the middle of the night, on this day, in the middle of the night, to kill all the firstborn and to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, wherever Hashem saw this blood on the doorpost, he skipped the house and nobody died there. Okay? Now, is there a connection between putting some blood on the door and life? On a physical level, nothing. Right? So what if there is blood on the doorpost? Right? Let's say there is a plague all over, right? And you'll take an animal, put some blood on the doorpost. Will it skip your house? Of course not, right? What does this teach us about Torah and mitzvot? The same way that the other details of this mitzvah teach us principles, foundations of Judaism. There is here also a foundation of Judaism that the Torah teaches us. The human being is a special creature, is a combination of body and soul. If we look superficially, it's the body that maintains the soul. Because if I want to eat physical food, if I want to nourish my body, if I want to drink something physical, right, I won't live, meaning the soul will not remain in me. We have to do physical things in order to maintain life. So it seems to us that the main part on a superficial level of the human being is the body, because the body gives life. Via this mitzvah, the Torah wanted to teach us that the opposite is true. Why did Hashem skip over the homes that had the blood on the doorposts? Because in order to put the blood on the doorposts, the Jewish people had to overcome a big fear. Because these animals were the gods of the Egyptians. To take them and slaughter them in public, put the blood publicly outside on the door, wanted to have total trust in Hashem that the Egyptians won't harm him. And in addition, and maybe that's the main thing, it was a fulfillment of a commandment. So if we ask, what saved the Jewish people from being killed in this plague, like all the Egyptians did, the answer is they did the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem is not physicality. So here we see that it's the spiritual, the mitzvah, that gives us life, not the body. Now, it's not that I'm saying don't eat, don't drink, do mitzvot and you will live. Obviously, it's a very, very high level, right, to deserve that the spiritual will maintain our body as well, right? And we had situations like this. Moshe was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, and he survived. The Jewish people in the desert ate food that was spiritual in nature, and they survived, right? And all those things, Moshe on the mountain not eating, the man, and this first mitzvah tell us what a mitzvah is all about. If you want to really know what is the source of life, the source of life is not the body. The source of life is the Tzelem Elohim, the godliness inside the person, and it's maintained and strengthened and come to a point that it can really hold the body as well, is the mitzvot that Hashem gave. And in the first mitzvah, the Torah wants to show us what gives you life, the mitzvah. The Torah says it really openly in the book of Deuteronomy. The Torah says, Ki lo al alechem levado yichyeh ha'adam. Man doesn't live just on the bread that he eats. What our eyes see, right, is I eat bread and I'm alive. But this is not what gives me life. The Torah continues. Ki lo al alechem levado yichyeh ha'adam, ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichyeh ha'adam. A person is alive because Hashem said so. And why does Hashem say so? Either because the person is doing mitzvot now, or because he is about to do mitzvot, or because he did mitzvot in the past, and Hashem wants to give him reward in this world, so he won't have life in the world to come because he doesn't deserve it. Whatever way it will be, but it's connected to the word of Hashem. We are alive because that's what Hashem wants. So in the first mitzvah, we learned four major principles. A, Moshe and his prophecy is true. No doubt. Second, there is divine providence and reward and punishment. This we learned via Aharon and his reward. Third, we are obligated to establish the calendar. This is something that is involved with ruling over nature. Mitzvot enable us to be above nature, not bound to nature. Chazal say, Hashem is the ruler, but who rules over Hashem? A righteous person, because it's possible that Hashem decrees that something will happen, and the righteous person can nullify it. So we are given godliness via the mitzvot that we do. The fourth thing that we learned is that what really maintains us, what is the major part of us, is the soul and not the body. So we have to dedicate our efforts and investment in the soul mainly, taking care of the body, not neglecting it, but to invest mainly in maintaining the purity and the development of the soul. There is one thing that was not proven yet here. We mentioned it before, and I want to mention again that the Torah is from Hashem. For this, we had to become prophets and hear it directly from him. If you pay attention, any other religion, any other belief comes with one person who says, God spoke to me and he told me. If God wanted me to listen to you, he would have spoken to me and tell me, listen to him. Otherwise, how do I know that it's true? Maybe you had a dream, maybe you're hallucinating. Right? That's what Hashem really did. He gathered us all at Mount Sinai and he told us, I am giving you the Torah via Moshe, and everything that Moshe says is what I told him. And that's the basis for our belief. And that's where we are heading. Right after leaving Egypt, we will get to Sinai, right? After the process of preparation, we'll get to Sinai, and over there we'll hear from Hashem. So we are now told all along what we become. What does it mean to be a nation of Hashem? What is our strength? What is it based on? How can we be 100% sure that we are following the ultimate truth, that we are doing what Hashem wants, and hopefully the day when we will be rewarded for it will come very, very soon. Okay, I'll open for remarks and questions.
The class is dedicated Le'ila Nishmas Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha Bas David Mordechai. You should be able to unmute yourselves now.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, so I understand that we learn divine providence from Aharon's reward, but how do we learn Midah Kenegad Midah? What does being happy for someone and not
Very
being
good
jealous
question.
have to do with Nevuah?
Good, because it's on his heart. Yeah, because his heart was so godly. So he got the word of God on his chest.
Got it. Okay.
Good question. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll see each other in Mirza Shem next week. Call to.
So thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you
Sure.
very much.